sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Moncrief on News Talk.
When Emma Quirk returned to work after the pandemic, she began to notice that something was wrong with her body. There were a range of symptoms which at first doctors didn't take quite seriously, but eventually she did find answers. She developed a condition called POI, which in effect meant that she had entered menopause. She was just 34. Emma, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So when you went back to work to kind of start at the beginning, so to speak, what were you noticing about yourself?
It was actually, we went back to work in May of 2001. So that would have been after the third lockdown. I was feeling very healthy in myself. You know, everything was fine. And just within a couple of weeks around the June or July, I started to notice there was something happening with my menstrual cycle. And like that, I just put it down to, you know, a bit of stress. And that's what you're kind of always told, you know, as you're growing up and being a woman and stuff. But I suppose it progressed from there. My chest size actually increased. And it was something that like family members were noticing at the time. So it kind of just spiraled from there. But at that point, I was starting to feel very fatigued. I was starting to suffer a lot of pains and aches. And it just kind of progressed from there. And come January of 22, and between January 22 and March 22, I actually put on 3.5 stone in weight out of nowhere.
Crikey. It just came on just like that.
Yeah, it just spiraled out of control.
and could you sleep? Were you getting the hot flushes?
Yeah, so I suppose like that was something that I only look back on, I suppose, in the last year or so. I suppose now that everything is starting to sink in, really. And if like the hot flushes were there, but they weren't like I wasn't really taking any heed to them, I suppose, is the way of putting it. You know, I might doze on the couch and I'd wake up and my neck would be all wet with sweat. I was twisting and turning a lot in bed at night. It got to the point that I was barely having 2 hours sleep. I'd get up through the night and I'd actually have to go out into the back garden to cool down.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. And then when you're self-employed and you're running a business and you have a salon and you're trying to be on top of your game for both yourself, your staff and clients, it's very hard when you know this is all going on in the background.
Yeah. So, obviously, you went to your GP. What did your GP say?
So at the time, like I was back and forth, I suppose, especially about the menstrual cycle back in 21, just when I started to see those changes, I went in and like the first question I was asked was I trying to conceive? And I said, no, I wasn't, you know, but I said I was just concerned about my body. And it just progressed from there. And like I was doing regular visits of nearly 6 weeks. It's not that doctors are anyway cheap, you know, and you're spending your weekly wages, you know, on different things and you're trying to figure everything out. I had tried reflexology. I was trying Reiki. I was doing everything because I was like, I was kind of starting to blame myself because I was led to believe that it was my problem. I was led to believe that I was a hypochondriac, that it was all in my head. I was told to go and have counselling. And in the end, So in the end, I just had to beg and plead, really. And I asked for blood tests to be done. And unfortunately, those blood test results I actually never received. So that was in 22, June 22, when those bloods were done. And it's kind of funny. And I think people think I'm bonkers when I tell them this. But in that November of 22, I had my first psychic reading. And the first two things she told me on my phone call was, you need to change your GP and you have gynae issues.
Yeah, gosh.
And that was something that sat within my gut. And I just felt like I needed someone to tell me that I wasn't the one that was spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, because of the way I was feeling, like anxiety had really set in, depression had set in with all of this, and still no answers. And you're just being made feel that you're non-existent and that it's all in your head, you know. So I obviously had gone into counselling myself because I just needed to try and figure me out at that point. And especially when I wasn't getting the answers. And I remember one day going into the counsellor and just going, is there something radically wrong with me? Like, why is nobody believing me? And it was getting hard. You know, and at this point, like, I was doing everything I could possibly do to lose it and nothing was coming off.
Yeah.
So in the end, that was November. Obviously, Christmas period for hairdressers is quite bananas. So I left it to that January, and an acquaintance of mine had recommended a female GP here in Kerry. So I actually just made contact with them, and lucky enough, she was able to take me on as a patient.
Yeah.
So I went to her in February of 23, explained everything to her, how I was feeling. You know, she was kind of concerned, for example, like, why I was mentioning all of this and why hadn't I mentioned it previously. And I said I had, but I just not listened to. So she said to me that time, she said, look, I need a week or two to read your files, and I'll come back to you on it, which she did. And she just rang me and she said, look, we need to talk. There is something in your hormones.
Yeah. Now, at first she thought it might be PCOS. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the symptoms I was displaying. So like we said, you know, I had the weight gain, I had the chest size. I started, so like something that does happen in menopause, like facial hair appears. There was loads of different things. But also at this point, my life had spiraled just completely out of control. I couldn't get a handle on my life. It was just very, very hard. And when you're being made feel that no one wants to listen to you, like, you lose faith in everyone. So that at that stage, she just said, we need to do more blood tests. And she said, I want to see something, she said, because there is something triggered in your bloods from June last year, which I never knew about because I was never informed about them. So this at this point was 9 months later. So everything came back, and a thing called an FSH, which is your female stimulating hormone. At that point, she told me that for my age group. So at this point, I was reaching 30. I was 33, actually. And 33 going on 34. And the FSH for my age group is supposed to sit between a level of 8 and 10. And when she did my blood test, I was actually sitting at 55, which was like extreme, off the chart.
Mm-hmm. God.
And she had, yeah, so, but she had also said to me that the blood test that had been done the previous June was actually 51. So when a level is that high, they have to repeat the blood test within 4 weeks of the other blood test being done, because just in case that it can be just a fluke. So she repeated those bloods and it came back again and it was still sitting at the same level.
Yeah. Now, and so it's primary ovarian insufficiency. Is that the menopause in and of itself, or does POI cause the menopause?
No. So there is actually two studies. There actually is no common cause for POI. It's just something that tends to happen.
Yeah.
So basically what it is POI is kind of, I suppose, the nicer way of putting menopause to anyone under the age of 35.
Yeah.
And anyone above 35 then is told it's early menopause. So basically we skip like perimenopause. So I actually lost both my estrogen and my progesterone immediately. So like I have suffered severely with bone health issues now. I'm borderline osteoporosis. I was diagnosed last year with fibromyalgia. So it's just been a spiral. I developed gum disease, which I've had to have surgery on my gums for. Like, literally, it has just spiraled out of control.
Yeah, and I suppose to add to all that, when you finally did get that diagnosis, the first thing the GP said was, go and get some eggs frozen. And
so that was like her suggestion. She was like, obviously it's something, Emma, you want in life. And I said, of course. So she said, look, we need to get you to a fertility clinic for that reason. So I had to have a specific blood test done for my egg count. So that was done and I headed off to a private fertility clinic then. And I met them in June of 23. So when I went up, my mom actually came with me that day because I had been kind of advised to bring someone with me. So we just went to the room, and to be fair, there's no beating around the bush. They tell you how it is. And, you know, I've a lot more respect for people that way, just giving it to you straight, that at least, you know, then this is what is ahead of you and this is what you have to deal with. So the gynecologist that I met that day and the fertility nurse, they sat across the table from us, and he just said, "I'm really sorry." He said, "Your egg count level is just so low." He was like, "There is barely a 1% chance of you ever ovulating, and that's why we don't talk about it." And he said, "Unfortunately, there is no eggs there." So the way he was able to talk further on this was, I then had to be internally scanned on the day as well. And this is where they found that my right ovary was completely gone, and my left ovary is just a bare minimum size.
After everything you'd been through up to that point, and that was, I suppose, that was the final smack in the face.
Oh, yeah, that was the final straw. Like, I suppose that day is just a huge blur, and I'm very lucky that I had my mother with me on the day to kind of absorb the information in. And I remember she asked the question of, "Do you think she has any chance naturally of getting pregnant?" And they just said, "We don't talk about it because it's that low, and we don't like to get anyone's hopes up." So I suppose, look, the way science has worked down through the years, and now I have opportunities, there is an option of egg donation, which is fantastic. And it's something, like they said to me, it's, you don't rush into. So in June of that year, he just said to me, "You need to go home. You need to talk to your GP. We advise that you now start HRT and give your body a chance for the next 2 years." So that'll be 2 years this June coming that I have been on HRT.
And how's the HRT been?
So at the start, they had put me on a patch, because there is different forms of HRT. So my GP put me on a patch for 12 weeks at a dosage of 50 milligrams. And to be fair, like, once that kind of kicked in, you know, I felt good. I was starting to get a bit of sleep. You know, my mood was starting to kind of pick up another bit. And I had to go back 12 weeks later, and she decided, you know, from asking me questions of how I was feeling, we decided to heighten it up to 75 milligrams. Now, I remember this, like, there is obviously side effects when you do heighten up the milligrams. I remember I had like really bad nausea for like 3 weeks after getting it heightened. So that was hard. You know, I survived on Haribo cola bottles for those 3 weeks. But, you know, look, I was so appreciative of my GP, you know, the way she took the time, she listened. You know, anything I said to her, she was like, "Absolutely, Emma." And I suppose what led from there then was just through social media. And we all know how strong social media can be. I found out about Dr. Mary Ryan then, who's the endocrinologist. And she wrote that book, It's Probably Your Hormones. So I decided to buy it, decided to read it, and kind of say to myself, look, something might pop up on it and something might resonate. And to be fair, there were so many things in that book that I just sat back and I was like, I need to speak to this woman. So that's what led me to Mary Ryan then in April 24. And I'm now a patient of Mary Ryan's as well.
Yeah. And so, and you switched on to using gel at that point.
So when I met Mary Ryan, we spoke about it, and she actually explained to me, in a very simpler form. And, you know, she took a lot of weight off my shoulders that day. There was such a motherly feel off her that, but you also felt like you were being listened to. And that's why I admire her so much as a doctor. But she decided to change me to the gel, and just make a few tweaks to different things. And she was like, Emma, I promise you, we will get you there. But she explained to me that day, she said, have you had stresses in life? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, it's written all over your face.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you're completely overwhelmed. You're stressed out to the last. She was like, you're a girl that's literally ready to fall down. And at that point I was, because I genuinely was withered from it all. And I just felt like it was just one blow after another, you know. So I have to admit, the minute I was put on the gel, and gel differs for every woman. So like, you can be either on one pump of gel or four, 1 to 4 pumps of gel. So she started me off on 3 pumps. And within 2 weeks, I felt like a new human, to be honest. I started to feel like myself again. But I also, that time, she recommended a psychologist because of the way I was feeling. And she said, you need to talk to someone, Emma. And she said, you need to talk to someone quick. So I was very, very lucky. I got in contact with a psychologist based in Cork within 2 weeks. And I have been working with Margaret ever since.
Yeah. And how are you feeling in yourself now?
Yeah, like obviously the last 24 hours have been quite overwhelming. You know, I didn't expect the response that I've gotten to my story, but I feel it's a story that really needed to be highlighted. Like I have found it very hard, especially in Ireland, because there is no resources there for us. There is no help. I've had to find information for myself. I've had to do so much research for myself. I'm trying to figure, I've been trying to navigate life and figure life out, you know, myself for the last 2 and 3 years. And I found a fantastic support group in England, which are known as the Daisy Network. And they actually work with women and young girls that have been diagnosed with POI. POI, which is obviously, I was ignorant to it. I didn't know anything about it. But it's actually quite scary of how many people actually have POI and no one is speaking about it. Like there's as young as 14 and 15 year old girls that are being diagnosed with POI.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it's quite frightening, really. Yeah. And I suppose the awareness needs to be created. You know, I suppose there's a naivety around it. And, you know, women, we hate to talk about the change, but it's becoming so common. And like, you know, even yesterday, like I was so overwhelmed with the amount of messages I received through social media and people were just reaching out going, how are you dealing with it? I was diagnosed at this age. I'm this age now. Like, you know, how did you explain it to your family? You know, there were so many questions. And like, I genuinely haven't even got through half the messages yet. Trying to reply to everybody. But it's just, I feel very strongly about it. I suppose I've had to do so much research for myself, and I'm very grateful to Aideen O'Connell, the journalist, and to the Irish Independent for, you know, believing in me for this story and hopefully help the women of Ireland as well in this situation. And no one has to suffer like I did,
yeah,
you know, and make sure women that they can stand up and find their voice and trust their gut.
One other thing before I let you go, this isn't cheap either.
No, absolutely not.
Because with most of the treatment you've had to go, that would have been through, you know, it would be privately.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So like, for example, the cost of a fertility clinic private, that appointment was €250 just for one appointment. Every doctor's appointment is anything between €50 and €60. Blood tests regularly are another, what, €30. I was obviously, as I said earlier, I was going to reflexology. I was having Reiki. All these sessions are €60 and €70. Every time. Like there's just been so much, and that's off the top of my hand, trying to even think of. But I genuinely, thousands, and I mean thousands. Look, for an example, we spoke there a minute ago, you know, my bone health suffered. I like between physio appointments, you know, which aren't cheap either. At one point they told me I had arthritis, which I ended up I didn't. It was actually fibromyalgia. I was on an injection for 3 years with that. Then I took myself off it because I knew it was making no difference to me. I now work with a physio that does pain management, which is I'm very grateful for. You know, like there's just so much. Another thing on bone health, I spoke about gum disease. The operations that I had, like they alone cost me €1,200 for those procedures. And like it just adds up and adds up and adds up. Like I'd say I've exceeded 10,000 in the last 3 or 4 years, really, to be honest.
My word. Emma, I must say the screen in front of me is just lit up with people complimenting you for telling your story and for also complimenting you for how brave you've been through all of this. And
thank you.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, and best of luck for the future. Thanks very much for doing so. That was Emma Quirk there. She's also the owner of a hair salon, as you also heard there. A lot of comments on Emma's story. I don't have time to read them all out. I've had irregular periods for the last few years, and it's so frustrating. I know doctors are doing their best, but women's health is so underfunded and it can feel like you're up against a wall, says one texter. Someone else says, I'm in my 30s. I'm really trying to get a handle on my fertility after being diagnosed with PCOS. It can feel like a hopeless situation. Someone else tells us there's an event on all things menopause taking place in Portlaoise on the 9th of March, organised by Sally Ann Brady from the Irish Menopause. Somebody else says, I was pregnant and the male male GP was telling me it was in my head and scheduled me for an infertility specialist. I was 29 and pregnant. Why do doctors not believe women when they tell their symptoms? Lots of people, as I said, saying how brave Emma's been. I'm going through egg freezing at the moment. It's such an overwhelming process. We need to speak more about fertility at an earlier age. And someone else says, when you have always imagined life with kids and then it doesn't happen, you go through a grieving process. Listening to Emma there, she has gone through a lot. There is no wonder it's overwhelming. We had to reframe what happens and what happiness looks like when we found out we would not be able to conceive. And finally, someone says, that poor lady, gaslighting and medicine happens to women so frequently. Don't be afraid of egg donation. It can work out wonderfully.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.